अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थे नयतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः माताजी अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अत कविर्नाम सुयावदर्थः स्याद प्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सिद्धेऽन्यतार्थेन यतेत तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः वट् टु वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्स् अतः फार् दिस् रीसन् कविः द एन्लैटन्ड् पर्सन् नामसु इन् नेम्स् ओन्ली यावत् मिनिमम् अर्थः नेसेसिटि स्यात् मस्ट् बि अप्रमत्तः विदौट् बीङ्ग् मेड् आफ्टर् देम् व्यवसाय बुद्धिः intelligently fixed, siddhe for success, anyata otherwise, arte in the interest of, na should never, yateta endeavor for, tatra there, parishramam laboring hard, tatra there, samikshamanaha one who sees practically. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For this reason, the enlightened person should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of life while in the world of names. He should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely hard labor for nothing. Purport. The Bhagavad Dharma or the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam is perfectly distinct from the way of fruitive activities which are considered by the devotees to be merely a waste of time. The whole universe or the matter of all existence is moving on as Jagat simply for planning business to make one's position very comfortable or secure, although everyone sees that this existence is neither comfortable nor secure and can never become comfortable or secure at any stage of development. Those who are captivated by the illusory advancement of material civilization following the way of phantasmagoria are certainly madmen. The whole material creation is a jugglery of names only. In fact, it is nothing but a bewildering creation of matter like earth, water and fire. The buildings, furniture, cars, bungalows, mills, factories, industries, peace, war, or even the highest perfection of material science, namely atomic energy and electronics, are simply bewildering names of material elements with their concomitant reactions of the three modes. Since the devotee of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he is not interested in created unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality, but simply names of no more significance than babble of sea waves. The great kings, leaders and soldiers fight with one another in order to perpetuate their names in history. They are forgotten in due course of time, and they make place for another era in history. But the devotee realizes how much history and historical persons are useless products of flickering time. The fruitive worker aspires after a big fortune in the matter of wealth, women, and worldly adoration. But those who are fixed in perfect reality are not at all interested in such false things. For them, it is all waste of time. Since every second of human life is important, an enlightened man should be very careful to utilize time very cautiously. 1 second of human life wasted in the vain research of planning for happiness in the material world can never be replaced, even if one spends millions of coins of gold. Therefore, the transcendentalist desiring freedom from the clutches of Maya or the illusory activities of life is warned herewith not to be captivated by the external features of fruitive actors. Human life is never meant for sense gratification, but self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us solely on this subject from the very beginning to the end. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. The civilization which aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things, and such a perfect civilization prepares men only to accept the bare necessities of life or to follow the principles of the best use of bad bargain. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargains, because the living entity is actually spirit, and spiritual advancement of the living entity is absolutely necessary. Human life is intended for the realization of this important factor, and one should act accordingly, accepting only the bare necessities of life and depending more on God's gift without diversion of human energy for any other purpose, such as being mad for material enjoyment. The materialistic advancement of civilization is called the civilization of the demons, which ultimately ends in wars and scarcity. The transcendentalist is specifically warned herewith to be fixed in mind, so that even if there is difficulty in plain living and high thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stark determination. For a transcendentalist, it is a suicidal policy to be intimately in touch with the sense gratifiers of the world, because such a policy will frustrate the ultimate gain of life. Shukadeva Goswami met Parikshit Maharaj when the latter felt a necessity for such a meeting. It is the duty of a transcendentalist to help persons who desire real salvation and to support the cause of salvation. One might note that Shukadeva Goswami never met Maharaj Parikshit while he was ruling as a great king. For a transcendentalist, the mode of activities is explained in the next shloka.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Upam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So, very interesting verse, very powerful purport Srila Prabhupada has given here. So, the first canto ended with Parikshit Maharaj asking a very relevant question, which is the subject matter of the whole Bhagavatam, which is, what is the highest goal for humanity and what should a human being do at all times to achieve that goal? In response to that, Srila Shukadeva Goswami starts answering from the second canto onwards. He, in essence, he establishes that it is Shravana Kirtana Smaranatmika Bhakti that is the means to attain the highest goal of Krishna Prem. Okay. And he says that this bhakti can be attained, can be perfected in a very short while, and he gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj. But then he starts discussing another popular opinion, because not everyone who had assembled there might agree to this conclusion of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. There were many people in the assembly who were inclined towards the path of jnana and yoga, and their conclusion was different. They thought that the ultimate goal of life is to attain mukti, and the means of attaining that mukti is Ashtanga Yoga. So, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami starts describing the path of yoga, not to promote it, but to contrast it with the path of bhakti. Bhagavatam, from the right outset, mentions Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. From the beginning, Bhagavatam kicks out any religion that or any path which will not lead to prema. But Bhagavatam does describe about these things. It describes to create a contrast, just like, you know, some white letterings are very clearly visible in a black background. So, black background can be utilized to highlight the white letterings. So, Bhagavatam does speak about Karma Yoga, it does speak about Jnana Yoga, it does speak about Ashtanga Yoga, Not that in Bhagavatam there are no descriptions of these paths. Right from second canto, then in third canto, Kapiladeva's teachings, he elaborately discusses the path of Jnana, Ashtanga Yoga. In the 11th canto, Krishna in his discussion with Uddhava describes these paths in great detail. But not to promote them, but to contrast them with bhakti. Unless such a contrast is created, because when you say bhakti is the best process, then best includes that there are better and worser processes. And unless you present what are those better and worser processes and why bhakti should be chosen, it would be a very dogmatic presentation by Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no dogmatic presentation. Of course, some sections may be there, provided that is the relationship between the speaker and the hearer. But Bhagavatam oftentimes describes these other paths to create a contrast, to establish how bhakti is superior. So, from that perspective, in the first two chapters of the second canto, Srila Shukadeva Goswami presents the path of yoga to establish how bhakti is superior to that path of yoga. And how the goal of prema is superior to the goal of Sayujya Mukti or liberation. So then, Shukadeva Goswami, while describing the path of liberation, very briefly digresses. And so the best process is bhakti, which he started out with, but he is presenting a better process, which is considered as best by some people. But in doing that, he is using that to compare it with a process which is even worse, which is the path of karma. So in the second and third verses, which we saw yesterday and today, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is condemning the path of karma, which gives only material benefits. Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta yan namabir dhyayati dir apa artaihi. Paribrahmam tatra na vindate artan maya maye vasanaya shayanaha. He says, this path, this is very similar to yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti vipashtita na pandita. Vedavadarata partha na anyadasti iti vadinaha, as Krishna says. So the Vedavadaratas who are completely absorbed in this path of karma, they say, na anyadasti, there can be nothing higher than this. But what they are attached to is merely in names only. Meaning, today it is there, Swarga is there. When the night of Brahma arrives, Swarga itself is not there. Okay. What to speak of the other things of this world? Okay. So, therefore he says, Ataha. So this verse is a conclusion. Ataha, therefore, as in Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Right. Ataha, therefore, Kavihi. That intelligent person. Intelligent person means one whose consciousness is more evolved to see beyond the temporary things of this material world. So such a person, what is his disposition towards things of this world? Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. Does he reject it or what should be his disposition? He says that he accepts whatever is needed for performing his sadhana. That is his disposition. Whatever is needed to keep the body and soul together so that he can continue performing his sadhana. That should be his disposition, Shukadeva Goswami says. And what does it mean to accept only that which is needed to keep the body and soul together? Srila Shukadeva Goswami, in the next two verses, he says, Satyam shitau kim kashipo prayasair. When you have the floor to sleep, why do you need a bed? Bahausa siddhe ki upabarhanai kim. You have your hands, you can use it as a pillow, why do you need a pillow? Satyanjalau kim purda anna patrya. When you have your two hands, why do you need vessels to cook food? Dig valkaladau satikim dukulaihi. When there are the four directions available to dress yourself, why do you need dress? He says. But then he realizes that people may feel a little bit awkward. He says, Valkala, there are tree barks which are available. You can dress in them. Someone may say, tree barks I can wear, but during summer it is inconvenient. During winters it will not protect me from cold. So he says, Chiranikim Patinasanti, are there not, you know, thrown away clothes on the path which people have disposed? Pick them up, wash them, use it. So, what about food then? Naivangripa Dishanti Bhiksham. Have the tree stop giving in charity? Pluck a fruit and eat. Or some vegetables, right? What about water? He says, have the Saritopya Shushan, have the rivers gone dry? Go drink as much water have you want. What about a place to live? I need a place to live. Ruddha Guhakim, have the caves closed? Are there no vacancies available in the caves? Okay, so someone may say, I am willing to go and stay in the caves. What if a lion or a python also wants to share the same space with me? You know, who will protect me? So, Shukadeva Goswami says, Ajito Avatina Upasannan, has Krishna given up his promise about protecting the devotees? Kaunteya Pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati. Don't you remember the guarantee that Krishna gives? Kasmat bhajanti kavayo dana durmadandam. So therefore, why should we worship the blind men who are infatuated with money just to take care of ourselves? Like that, Shukadeva Goswami gives a very seemingly hardliner understanding of, you know, what does it mean to accept only what is needed to keep one's body and soul together. So now, we will discuss on these two themes today. What should be the devotee's attitude towards material science and material knowledge? Because this is, Prabhupada talks about it in the purport. Prabhupada says, the whole universe, or for that matter, all material existence is moving on as Jagat, simply for planning business to make one's position very comfortable or secure. Those who are captivated by the illusory advancement of material civilization are certainly madmen. The whole material creation is a jugglery of names only. In fact, it is nothing but a bewildering creation of matter like earth, water and fire. The buildings, furniture, cars, bungalows, etc. are all simply bewildering names of material elements. Since the devotee of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he is not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality. Of course, here when it is spoken about material world or material objects as not being real, in our Vaishnava parlance, it just means temporary. We don't take it in the sense of Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. We don't literally take that it as non-real. It is not non-real, but it is temporary. Or it also means that it has no substantial value. That's what it means. So, there is a very interesting discussion in the 9th chapter of Jaiva Dharma. The chapter is titled as Nitya Dharma and Material Science and Civilization. That is the title of the chapter. There is a very interesting storyline where two childhood friends meet after many, many decades. One, and their life had taken different paths. One of them had embraced the Shakta Dharma. Okay, the, you know, worshippers of Chandi, you know, Durga worshipper. Another had taken the position, the path of Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he had renounced everything and he was living in Gaudramadvip. His name was Advaita Das, who later became Advaita Das Babaji. So then, and this worshipper of the Shakta Dharma, he was Digambar Chattopadhyay. He was a very staunch Chandi worshipper, and he had great love for his childhood friend. And he really thought that he had been hijacked by these Vaishnavas, and somehow he had to be protected. So with a genuine desire to, protect his childhood friend, he comes all the way to Godrum Dweep, and there is a meeting, and they start conversing about so many things. And one of the topics that they discuss is how Advaita Das says that, all this advancement in material science is of very not so important. What is important is you move towards self-realization. At this point, a very valid question Digambar Chattopadhyay asks. He says, supposing material knowledge had not advanced to what it is today, how would you subsist and perform your bhajan? We are using a laptop, we are using a microphone. And in that very microphone, looking at the same laptop, you are telling all this material advancement is of no use, all these factories and all that. So, Digambar asks, you are speaking like this. This indicates that you, Vaishnavas, must also work to improve your material knowledge. So, you should work to improve your material knowledge because you are using the material things. Isn't it? Advaita Das says, look, persons endeavor in a particular field according to their individual propensities. People who are inclined in a particular direction, they will engage to assimilate knowledge about that. Okay. Digambar asks, from where do these inclinations arise from? Where does one get this inclination from? He says, habits and preferences which one has practiced over many lifetimes. Vasanas. Vasanas accumulate to create a particular swabhava. And according to those propensities, there is an urge to engage in that particular direction and acquire that particular knowledge, material knowledge. Like a Brahmana wants to attain Brahmanical knowledge. A Kshatriya wants to assimilate Kshatriya knowledge. Vaishya wants to assimilate knowledge about how to gain wealth and all those things. Here, he says, the depth of a person's material knowledge is the barometer that measures the extent of his material engrossment. How much eager you are to accumulate or assimilate knowledge about a particular material thing, material system, to that extent, that is a barometer which indicates what is the extent of one's material engrossment. In turn, this material knowledge and engrossment makes him an expert in expressing the mundane art forms. He becomes an expert. Thinner and thinner laptops and, foldable phones and, touch screen, everything, like that. So, like that. Ultimately, but he says, however, whatever articles are suitable as a result of this entire material endeavor by the materially engrossed people will be utilized gratefully by the Vaishnavas as paraphernalia for the devotional service of the Lord. They will anyway endeavor. They are not going to stop. And they will not accept the Vaishnava practices immediately. Eventually everyone has that potential to take up to. They will not immediately take up because they may not eventually meet with devotees and accumulate that Sukriti. So in the meantime, according to their propensities, they will anyway engage in either inventing a wheel or inventing so many other gadgets and other such things. So basically what he says is, Vaishnavas will utilize the wheel, but they are not engaged in inventing the wheel. They don't have to put energy in that direction. Because anyways, people inclined in that direction are doing it. They are not interested in meditating on Krishna. But Vaishnavas can utilize it in Krishna's service. He gives an example. A carpenter makes furniture for a living. However, he can also make an altar to enthrone the deity in the home of a grihastha Vaishnava. So, someone need not engage in learning carpentry unless it is his profession which he wants to engage in. He can utilize the help of a carpenter to make an altar. Following their instinct and propensity, the bees busily collect pollen and produce honey, which is then taken away and utilized and in the service of Krishna. So in the same way, people with material propensities, materialists, they are busily engaged in actions and endeavors according to their propensities, which can be gratefully accepted by the Vaishnavas if there is a utility in Krishna's service. Okay. So, Advaita Das says, look, not everyone in this world is going to endeavor for their highest spiritual elevation. This is a fact. Therefore, they will definitely be engaged in activities impelled by their natural material propensities. Let them engage. Sometimes they may be degraded low propensities which can create havoc, and sometimes they may be engaged in useful propensities. They may engage their useful propensities in creating useful objects. Okay. So, he says, all materialistic men executing their works inspired by their mundane propensities, they reach success by indirectly assisting the Vaishnavas in their spiritual practice. So, when they produce something and when the Vaishnavas utilize it in Krishna's service, they get that sukriti. The materialists are, however, unaware of this fact. That is why it is Agyata Sukriti. Bewitched by Sri Vishnu's illusory potency, they perform multifarious mundane activities which are later utilized by the Vaishnavas in the devotional service of the Lord. In this way, the entire world is actually the unwitting servitor of the Vaishnavas. Unwitting servitor. They don't realize it. But when the Vaishnavas properly utilize it in the service of Krishna, they get the credit for it. They also get the credit for it. So now, but here, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he gives a much more, as we discuss, hardliner understanding of Vairagya. If there is floor, why do you need a bed? You have your hands, why do you need pillows and so on? So, but honestly, we do not follow that level of Vairagya or even, really aspire for it. So what should be a devotee's approach towards Vairagya? Should Vairagya be cultivated, or what should be a devotee's approach? We'll try to see this. So, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, after discussing the 64 limbs of devotional service, he enumerates what do not constitute limbs of devotional service. So, he lists a few of them. He also lists jnana and vairagya. He says, jnana vairagya yor bhakti praveshaya upayogita. Ishat pratamam eveti na angatvam uchitam tayoho. He says, jnana and vairagya bhakti praveshaya upayogita. Just before entering bhakti, they are little bit needed. Ishat pratamam eva. Only little bit, only for beginning bhakti. Na angatvam uchitam tayoho. But they cannot be accepted as limbs of bhakti. Okay. So what vairagya is he talking about? He says vairagya means the kind of vairagya which is practiced by the yogis and jnanis. Okay. But that part of vairagya which is not contrary to bhakti, that should be accepted. What is that? భోగాది త్యాగ కృష్ణస్య హేతవే. వన్ ఇస్ విల్లింగ్ టు గివ్ అప్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ప్రతికూల్ ఫర్ వన్స్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ ఫర్ ద ప్లెజర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. ఓకే, సో దట్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఈషత్ రెఫర్స్ టు దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫేవరబుల్ ఫర్ భక్తి దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గివన్ అప్. ఓకే, సో హీ సేస్ దట్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ మీన్స్ దే ఆర్ when attachments have been given up, in the beginning when there is so much attachment and because of which one is not even able to give that up and take up to bhakti, in that particular stage one needs. But when attachments have been given up and a person begins practicing bhakti, jnana and vairagya become insignificant. Also, after beginning bhakti, if one constantly thinks about jnana and vairagya, it will distract the person from bhakti, Jiva Goswami says. Okay. So, when does vairagya become pratikul, or any principle for that matter, when it becomes pratikul, when due to lack of maturity, we do not understand the hierarchy of application of these rules. Let's take one small example. Once in Gaudiya Math, it was Ekadashi, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went on rounds in the ashram, and he saw, it was afternoon time, and he saw that devotees were just lying down and taking rest, and he went and woke them up, and he said, "What's happening? Why are you sleeping?" And but they told that, "Prabhupada, it is Ekadashi, we are fasting, so therefore there is no energy." So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur did not tell anything. He said, "Okay." He went to the kitchen. Himself, he used rice and dal and prepared khichdi for them, invited all of them, made them eat that khichdi, and said, "Now you go out and either distribute books or preach." Okay. So, the point is, you know, the rules are there, but it needs some maturity to understand what is the hierarchy of these rules. What can be sacrificed at what cost, and what cannot be sacrificed at any cost. If that maturity is not there, then any principle, be it vairagya or jnana or anything, it becomes pratikul. Or even as sometimes His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says that you better eat on an Ekadashi and fast your ego than to fast your body and feast your ego, like that he says. I mean, he's not like really recommending that one does not fast on Ekadashi, but we have to understand the hierarchy of application, you know, which are the non-negotiable rules, which are negotiable, and under what circumstances particular rules can be negotiated. That needs proper guidance and maturity. So otherwise it becomes niyamagraha. So, and another problem with actively cultivating vairagya is, he says, yad ube chitta katinya hetu prayah satam mate sukumara swabhaveyam bhaktistad hetu ririta. Yad ube, because this jnana and vairagya, prayah, generally, especially when unfavorably cultivated, chitta katinya hetu, it becomes the cause of making the heart very hard. Satam mate, therefore it is the opinion of authoritative devotees that bhakti hi, because the problem comes, if you say vairagya is not needed, then one may say that, then how will one move on to the higher stages of bhakti? Because when you are going to higher stages of bhakti, there must be proportionately more exhibition of vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga, right? So without the cultivation of vairagya, how would you go from anarthana vritti to nishta, nishta to ruchi, ruchi to asakti, and so on? This question arises. He says that bhakti hi tad hetu ririta. Bhakti alone is the cause of entering into bhakti. Which means by practice of bhakti, automatically those qualities of jnana and vairagya manifest. Vasudeve Bhagavati, bhakti yoga prayojitah, janayatyashu vairagyam, jnanam chayad ahaitukam. So one does not independently endeavor for these things. The endeavor should be for shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam. Okay. So then automatically, otherwise, chitta katinya hetu, it becomes the cause of hardening the heart. Why? Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in jnana, one must deliberate on the truth by defeating a variety of other philosophies. So when one is interested in debating, you know, it makes the heart very hard. And also in vairagya, if one repeatedly renounces enjoyment by repeated toleration of suffering, that also leads to hardening of heart. But the nature of bhakti is sukumara swabhaveyam. Practice of bhakti is supposed to make the nature very soft, the heart very soft. And this becomes a problem. So, therefore, one should... So, therefore, he says that one need not worry about detachment because bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trika ekakala. So, automatically by practice of bhakti, para isha anubhava and virakti will automatically manifest. Okay. So, one need not really worry about it. Okay. So, that is why Srila Rupa Goswami says, ruchim udvahatas tatra janasya bhajane harehe vishayeshu garishtopi ragaha prayo viliyate. He says, if a person harehe bhajanam bhajane ruchim udvatah, if he has even little bit of taste for practicing bhakti, vishayeshu garishtopi, even if he may have strong material desires, prayo viliyate, they are mostly destroyed. That ragaha prayo viliyate, that attachment is mostly destroyed during sadhana only. And this is described in Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He explains various kinds of anarthas, how at various stages of practice they get destroyed. Ekadesha vartini, bahudesha vartini, prayiki, purna, atyantiki, like that five different stages of anartha nivritti, he describes how, at what happens at the stage of bhajana kriya, what happens at the stage of nishta, what happens at the stage of ruchi, asakti, etc. He explains. So this gradually, anartha nivritti means what? Detachment, virakti. So it is automatically accomplished. Okay. And in this way, the hardness of the heart caused by practice of vairagya will not take place. And still detachment will manifest. All that one needs is little bit of taste for practicing bhakti. That's all. Okay. So then he talks about that kind of vairagya which is favorable for bhakti. Which is what we call as yukta vairagya. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjatah nirbandha krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchyate. So, yata arham upayunjatah. He defines, what is this vairagya? The vairagya of that person who employs objects suitable for devotional development. For that one should know, what object is suitable for my devotional development? Of course, all objects have utility in Krishna's service. The question is, whether I am capable of utilizing it in Krishna's service, that needs to be considered. Okay. So, yukta vairagya is a very gradual thing. So, he says, yata arham upayunjatah. He should engage objects suitable for Krishna's service. Anasaktasya vishayan. While he himself should be detached from utilizing it. He cannot have attachment. Okay. This is yuktam vairagyam uchyate. It is said to be suitable for bhakti. And, he makes another point. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Whenever it is utilized, it should be persistently utilized only in Krishna's service and not in any other service. Not for sense gratification. Now, this looks like a very, again, a difficult thing, you know, which means practically except for, you know, chamara, vyajan, shank and bell, these kind of things, which we may not have any personal attachment to, rest of the things that we may use, it may be a little difficult, you know. There may not be nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, like when we are using our smartphones, you know. Is it that always we are utilizing it only for Krishna's service? You know, laptops, so many other different things. There should be persistent utility and anasakta sivishan. You should not have an attachment to it. So the question is, so therefore is yukta vairagya the bare minimum expectation of all devotee sadhakas? This question arises. Is it a bare minimum expectation of all the sadhakas? Or is there little concession somewhere? So actually if you see, there are four levels of practicing devotional service. The beginning stage is the succumbing stage, where there is a constant tussle or tug of war between the uncontrolled senses and the devotee who wants to overcome them and engage only in Krishna's service. This stage is called as Vishaya Sangara in Madhurya Kadambini. Srila Vishwanatha Chakradakur writes, understanding that material enjoyment is forcibly carrying him away and impairing his steadiness in Krishna, the devotee resolves to renounce his addictions and take shelter of the holy name. From today, I will give up my addictions and I will only chant the holy name without getting distracted. But many times, his attempts at renunciation often end in enjoying what he is trying to renounce. He is not able to renounce it completely. So this is described in Bhagavatam, this beginning stage of the succumbing stage. Jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarvakarmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage api anishwaraha tato bajeta mam prita shraddhalur dridanischaya jushamanascha tan kaman dukkodarkamscha garhayan. Krishna tells to Uddhava that such a person, he has faith in bhakti, nirvinna sarva karmasu, and he has no faith in jnana, karma, yoga, etc. Veda dukkatmakam kaman, he knows that engagement in sense gratification will lead to suffering eventually. But parityage api anishwaraha. But he is not able to persistently give up sense gratification. This anasaktasya vishayan is not happening. Okay. So, but dushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Whenever he slips, he feels very repentant and he tries to steady back. This is the succumbing stage, which also, you know, in the, when anarthanavritti is very preliminary, so one falls within this category, where there may be many objects which will not fall under the category of yukta vairagya for him, because there is attachment, right? But he can bridge it by the next stage. Succumbing stage, then comes the stage of dovetailing, where he has favorable attachment to particular limbs of devotional service, which likable devotional activities, which he engages to kill his boredom. Because boredom is the cause of our getting distracted to sense gratification. So if we have devotional means of killing boredom, then boredom will not kill us by dragging us into material sense gratification. So this is called the stage of dovetailing, where we have likable devotional activities which we engage in, and that way we spend our time not being dragged by unfavorable sinful desires. So That way we try to escape the succumbing stage and come to the dovetailing stage. But the problem is sometimes when one tries to engage in likable devotional activities, there is always the problem of sometimes people say that, oh, that is not bhakti, that is karma yoga. If you engage in activities which you like, that is karma yoga. If you engage in activities which Krishna likes, that is bhakti yoga. What if I engage in activities which Krishna likes, but I also happen to like? What is that? Is that bhakti or not? Like someone was telling me that, Prabhuji, hamara ashram mein na ek karma yogi hai. Matlab, oh, you know, he practices only karma yoga, not bhakti yoga. So I said, why? Because he is very much attached to driving. So he keeps on driving. So I said, where does he drive? So he says, when devotees want to go to railway station, he drives them. When they want to go to the sabji market, he drives them. So ultimately, he may have some interest in driving, but at least he is dovetailing it in devotee service. But karma yoga means you engage in activities which are prescribed according to your varna and ashrama in the dharma shastras, and you follow them diligently, thinking that it will lead to my spiritual progress. That is karma yoga. If someone is engaging in likable devotional activities, it is good. At least he will do it with some absorption. And that is what Srila Sanatana Goswami mentions in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that whatever devotional method by which a man with true spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that is the method that saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. Okay. So therefore, it is not wrong to engage and act in those limbs of devotional service which one likes, and it is very natural. Srila Rupa Goswami also says, swa vasana anusarena. One's attraction to particular limbs naturally happens because of the vasanas one has accumulated. And in the beginning, it is important actually. So therefore, one should essentially like the activity. And another thing which we often hear is, if you do activities which you don't like, you will progress very fast. This is another often understood. This is not a wrong statement, but it has to be completed and understood in the right context. If you engage in activities which you don't like, probably we will not progress. But if we engage in activities which we don't like because of love for the guru who is engaging us for our own betterment, then it can help us progress. But if out of guilt or force, if we engage in activities which we do not like, that will not generate the absorption. And as Srila Sanatana Goswami says, progress comes from absorption, not in engaging in activities which we don't like. So either there should be attachment to the activity, which is ruchi, or there should be attachment to the personality, which is asakti. One of the two must be driving force. If there is neither taste for the activity nor taste for the personality or affection for the personality, that will not lead to progress. So therefore, this is the stage of dovetailing, where one identifies likable devotional activities to kill boredom so that one does not get sucked into the succumbing stage. Then comes Yukta Vairagya, the third stage, where the more and more one gets detached from those objects, he can utilize it in Krishna's service without being attached. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataram and Nirbanda Krishna Sambande, persistently utilizing it only in Krishna's service. Then comes spontaneous devotional service at the stage of Bhava and Prema. Toime Ananya Vishaya Matir Madhupate Asakrit Ratim Mudvahata Dadda Gange Vogam Udanvati. So where naturally the mind runs towards the feet of Krishna, not considering any obstacles. So, therefore, from the succumbing stage to Yukta Vairagya, direct jump is very difficult actually. The bridge is the doubtailing stage. And Yukta Vairagya is not doubtailing. Doubtailing is one step below Yukta Vairagya. But if one identifies likable devotional activities, not that one should engage in it all the time. So I will end with this one small clarification. So the mood of the authority should be, let me engage him in an activity which he likes. You know, like we have the Das Abhiman department, you know, where, you know, they identify people, okay, what is their liking? Let us engage them in that way so that they feel so nourished and they can contribute in a very nice way to the mission. And in this way, what happens? There develops a very strong bond of affection between the follower and the authority. Then the follower feels, to please this person, I will do whatever he wants. So even if that activity I may not like, I will do. So that is a favorable mode of approach from both sides. So that way, either he is driven by a liking for the limb of devotional service, or he is driven by a liking for his authority. So in that way, he very quickly passes over the stage of doubtailing and comes to the stage of Yukta Vairagya, after which he can come to the stage of spontaneous devotional service. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.